go search the right temple of the tower. Right now. Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Good morning, I'm Herb, and welcome to Community Spotlight. Each Friday I try and bring in somebody from the community or an organisation or an event that an organisation has having or had for a chat. And today I've got David Carr from Black Gully Festival. Hello, David.
G'day, Herb.
Well, thanks for coming in. We've just had the 14th Black Gully Festival down here at the Black Gully Reserve on the 8th of November. How do you think it went?
Oh, I was very pleased with it this year. We had a great turnout this year, probably the most people we've had for a few years. The weather held out for us. We had, remarkably, a couple of storms. We're very close to Armidale, but just managed to bypass the festival site. So we got that order in early and it worked.
Yes, it seemed to be very good. The crowd were good. They seemed to be enjoying the music and all the stuff that was on board. And you had all the stall holders, the food, and you had all the information brokers.
Yeah, I think we had a really good spread of musicians and stall holders and community organisations, and people seemed to be getting around the whole festival and really enjoying themselves.
One of the musos that I ran into after the festival said, oh, I really enjoyed it when I was playing, just having people on their blankets, just listening to all the stuff that was going on. So they enjoyed the fact that the audience were enjoying the music in that manner.
Yeah, we changed the layout a little bit this year, the way we oriented the stages. Normally they were sort of facing west. This year we turned them to face a bit more south, and it meant that people, there's more space in the shade, and we could bring the whole festival in a whole lot tighter, so it wasn't as spread out. And I think that meant that there were always people around listening to the music, and it felt much busier. There's nothing worse if you're a musician on stage looking out and there's one person and a dog walking past. But when there's a crowd, you react to the crowd, and I think you play better.
No, well, I think that's what you were saying. So today we'll do a bit of a review, I think. That was a quick snapshot of your feeling about what it was like. But let's do a quick review. Now, in the morning, we had the Holy Horns, and they were basically from the start. So we started about 10:30, and the Holy Horns. So they're the O'Connor Jazz Band, and they were very good.
Yeah, they were. They were fantastic. Before they started, we had two acts up on the Niram Cafe stage, and there were people there enjoying their coffees in the morning, and they were able to listen to
Judith Betts, I think.
Yep, Judith Betts and Bruce.
And Bruce Country.
Yep. So they kicked the day off for us. But we often start in the morning and it's fairly quiet, but because we had the school group starting up, and they're a big group, and they brought their friends and their families along, there was already a crowd early in the morning, and they hit it off really well. They were fantastic. The music was really high quality. The tunes were fun. They were having a good time, and it was infectious, and it was a really great way to start the day. And also with lots of horns, they were loud and they carried right across the whole site. So I thought they were really impressive.
Well, I've got a friend who lives down the end of Kentucky Street, on the eastern end of Kentucky Street, and she said she could hear the jazz going with the Holy Horns and the Jazz Lab, which came on there later.
Yeah.
She could hear it and she loved her jazz, so that was great.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, that's good they carried that far.
Yes. No, she heard it all, she said. But an interesting point you make, these school kids, having the school kids there and then having their families there, I think that's a point. Bringing school kids to a festival like this does bring the parents and friends.
Yeah, that's right.
It just makes for more people to come.
Yeah, so you want a big group there, and hopefully that then they then stick around for the day. So not only were their family, but all their friends sort of turned up and had a listen. The other thing I think it's really important, one of the things we try to do with the festival is we don't just try to have, you know, professional bands that you would see when you go to any other festival. We're trying to give people a go. Like, this is probably the first time a lot of these people have played in a festival environment. And so giving them that opportunity is really important, especially for kids when they're in that sort of late high school age and they've sort of been playing under the direction of a tutor for a while. And often when they leave school, they actually drop their instrument. You know, they don't continue. And it's a really important transition to try and get people to see the opportunities to keep playing music once they leave school. And hopefully doing something like this gets those kids inspired to join a band and keep going.
No, certainly a valid path to take. Although I'll put a plug in now for the Rocky River Primary School Choir. They've come to McMoore Gardens Christmas party for the last few years that I've been there, and they're great. So yeah, even having the Rocky River Primary School Choir at some time in the morning singing a couple of songs would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And we'd love any schools that have got acts like that. You got a whole year to work on it. We'd really love to have you contact us and talk about getting a slot in the festival next year.
So how would schools get in contact with you? Through the Black Gully Festival Facebook site?
Yeah, that's probably the best way. Just send a message and we'll get back to you and make contact. And, you know, we've got lots of people in the Musicians of Armidale who are willing to mentor musicians, you know, in schools. And, you know, we could help a school develop an act for the festival.
Well, there's a call out to any schools, primary and secondary, that they want to be a part of the Black Gully Festival, the 15th Black Gully Festival. Bit of a time, 15 years.
Yes.
Contact the Black Gully Festival Facebook site. But you could always just ring up Armidale Community Radio here, leave a message, and we'll pass it on.
Yep.
So let's move on to some other musicians. Now, we had Alejandra and the Armidale Salsa. He's very keen on his salsa and he's very good at it.
Yeah, that's right. That was great. Just a quick little demo of salsa in the front of the stage while we changed over a number of bands. And that's really the sort of thing that we love having. We've had these different dance acts that they'll be doing a weekly dance course, and this gives them an opportunity to show off their skills. So a lot of our festivals we've had various dance acts, salsa, and we've had other acts, Indian dance, for example.
No, it was very good. And then we had their Welcome to Country, which was very great didgeridoo playing and a Welcome to Country there. We also then had the Sinners. Now, they were a last-minute inclusion, but they were great.
Yeah, they've been around for a while. That's Emily and Brendan, and they have fantastic harmonies. They do that great sort of harmonised duo act really well. They're really professional and a great way to ease into the afternoon program.
Then basically on to the Rocky Bottom Girls just after lunch, so they've been around quite a while. Craig, Sajada, Jana, Clara Johnson.
Yes.
And she plays guitar and bodhram and a little bit of bass as well. So the Rocky Bottom Girls, they were great. Then we went into Omar Soul, Jemima and James.
Yeah, those two acts are probably some of our more professional and polished acts. They've really been playing events and festivals around. I think Rocky Bottom Girls have just finished a tour. They've got a CD out. They're very professional, really polished musicians and great music. Oh My Soul, same, really, really polished, lovely vocals and jazz piano, and we really, really appreciate them. And Omar Soul played at our pre-Black Gully event at the Markets in the Mall at the end of October, and we really, really went down well there too.
Then we went into MC in the Squares, our own Mark Cooper, and he was joined by Craig and Sajada, the Rocky Bottom Girls.
Yeah, so Mark's been writing his own music since he was a kid, and he's got this huge catalogue of songs, and he's really worked on them, performing them in the last 10 years, and they've really developed. You know, when you play your original music live, it evolves gradually, and you play it with different combinations. So Mark's songs are really, really great stories, most of them. And when they played with those two, they're really, really great tunes.
So we'll just move on to, we had Dusky Buzz. Now, aren't they fun?
Yeah, they're great, yeah.
Seven-piece band, three female harmonies. You've got a whole range of age in Dusky Buzz.
And you've got, you know, guitar and keyboards and saxophone in there.
Keith Cornish,
yeah, he's been around forever, playing music in Armidale.
Alan.
Alan Hardacre. So they're a great band, and you never know what you're going to get. There's all sorts of styles and music in there, in that beautiful sort of, what would you call it, lounge jazz almost, that style. And they went down really well. Like, people really appreciated that.
Well, they were around about that 4 o'clock period, so it sort of picked up the afternoon.
Yep.
So we had the jazz in the morning, then it moved into a bit of bluegrass. We had a bit of soul and jazz, funk, then went into Dusky Buzz, lifted everything to the Cham Cham.
Yeah, the Cham Cham, for me, they were the highlight of the day. They were fantastic. So they've got they've got a core of really experienced musos who've been around forever and have got a really solid pedigree in rock. And then they've got a new, they're a new band. I think that was their fourth performance. But they've got this young fella on lead vocals and guitar, and he's got exactly what you need for a band like that. He's got great charisma. He's really got a good stage presence, and he does the vocals and the guitar really well. So they came across really well, and people really loved them. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of them.
No, certainly. And then we went into Parlyide, now sort of solid groovers.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Did you play with Party Line sometime?
No. I've sat in with them a couple of times, but they're great. They're fun. They're really entertaining. They've got a great dance groove with a lot of their songs. Yeah, they've got quite a following as well. So a lot of people came along to listen to them. It was funny because they got to the end of their set and they still had like, you know, 5 minutes or something to go. We said, oh well, go and do another song, forgetting that a lot of their songs go for about 7 or 8 minutes. We had a bit of time. We were up our sleeve, so it was...
No. It all fitted into our schedule.
Really good. But we were wondering at one stage whether Dusky Buzz and Party Line would actually get on, because there was this storm just scraping past the northern side of Armidale. I think it might have hit the gallery but missed us. And at one stage we were looking very nervously at the sky and whether we'd all have to abandon ship. So they both got on anyway. Yeah.
But thankfully it was just a few drops. But we finished with the Chad.
Yeah, the Chads. Well, they were interesting. When we call for expressions of interest for musicians to play, people send in a demo, either a recording or a video or whatever, and we, blown away by the Chads. They bring their own crowd. They're academics at the University of New England in the paleontology department, I think, and they do... Oh, what would you call it? Instrumental, tar-based, prog rock, jazz, and they were brilliant. And they brought their own crowd. I think they made their students come at threat of downgrading their marks. But yeah, they went down really well. So they were a great way to finish the day. A lot of energy, and they wrapped up the main stage.
No, it was very good. So in terms of musicians, it was a fantastic lineup, and it really got a great vibe for the day, and I'm sure everybody that came enjoyed the musicians. But we had a different format to ARM take a different role this year, and the format was that we had a space between each act. Firstly, we weren't just transmitting to the internet and on 92.1 like we'd done in the past, but we had the ability to cast out across the stage, so we were able to introduce acts. But we also had 5 minutes to fill. To me, that was really good, because prior to the event, we had all our information brokers, like from UNE, The Soils with Lisa Lobre de Bruin. We had Sarah Micah, Headwaters, and protection of our creeks and all that type of stuff. So we were able to actually create some content prior to the festival of stall holders and information brokers that were there on the day, and also the NERAM art exhibition, Weathering Together, about climate change.
Yep.
And we were able to play that in those five-minute spaces and play it across the stage. So to me, it made a different different experience for those that came.
Yeah. I think having the involvement of 2ARM in the last 2 years has really changed the way we present the music. So we have two stages for the main festival area, and that's so that a band can be setting up on one stage and while the other band's playing. So it allows us to not have really long pauses in the day, but at the same time, we actually need keep the community engaged, or the people who turn up engaged. So having those 5 minute breaks to be able to play some different content, some pre-recorded stuff, to actually play interviews with the musicians or the stall holders who are there on the day, and importantly to announce, you know, who the last act was or who the next act was, is really important. So it keeps a lot more connectivity between all the different bits of the day, and it also takes the pressure off some of us from having to jump up after every act and, you know, say who that was and announce the next act. So, and it also, with the content that 2ARM is able to get, it provides a bit of a legacy, if you like, for the festival, and, you know, provides material that goes to a wider audience who may not be able to get there on the day. So that was a really important component, and I think we'll continue to evolve it. You know, there's ironing out some of the issues with doing that. You know, the technology, the volume, the balance between interviews and music and things like that, probably allowing a little bit of silence through the day. All those things we'll review and keep improving.
Well, that's adaptive management.
That's right.
Basically, yeah. look at what you've done and then cast forward and try and improve it for the next year. But one of the important things for me is creating that content, making the connection, which is basically goes back to, I suppose, some of the fundamental things with the festival. By us making the connection for those interviews, I've now got agreement from them to come in and maybe do another two or three subjects. So certainly Lisa Lobre de Bruin from UNE, she's keen to come in and do another three, I think she said she might have up her list. So she did soils, so we might do different things about whatever she decides.
Yeah.
So that's sort of content for the radio station as well. And other ones that I spoke to on the day or prior to the day are of a similar vein. They'll come in and do more content for us, which is a great connection across the community with UNE, with people, artists that are doing stuff. You know, it's all good. It's all win-win, I think.
Yeah, well, that's one of the key themes of the festival is community. And what we mean by that is that the festival actually brings together all these environmental, social, community-based organisations in one place on the day. And by putting on the festival and doing that event together, you get connections like you're talking about there, where, you know, you get content like that. Often different groups will work together on a project. You know, they might apply for a grant or they might decide they're going to put on an event later in the year. And it's this one day of the year where we all get together and share a fun day, and it's actually binds that community together and creates those connections that allow other things to happen.
That's a very good segue, Dave. We might get a bit serious now. So each year, so this is your 14th year. Each year you have to scrape together around $12,000, and it's always increasing, to put the festival on.
That's right, yeah.
And that takes a lot of effort. And we're all volunteers, everybody's a volunteer, and I think the number was about 70 volunteers to put it on. So that ranges from of the musicians, the, you know, parking attendants, everybody.
Yep.
So about 70 volunteers. That means various grants, from small to larger grants, but $12,000. And that mostly covers payment for the stages, which has gone up a little bit this year. The sound equipment, insurance, generators, the toilets, promotion, security. That's where all the money goes into, to put something on like this.
Right.
And I know council helped out a little bit with a small grant that was shared with NERAM this year.
Yep.
But also they help out greatly with mowing and cleaning up the site ready for the festival.
That's right.
And I will have to say, on the other side of that, the patrons that came to the festival left the grounds very good.
That's right. Well, we went back the next morning and there's virtually nothing to... Yeah.
So I suppose when I think about, for example, another one we've got locally, the Dorrigo Folk and Bluegrass Festival, it's been going for 24 years. But in the first 10 years, they had a single benefactor, which was the Dorrigo Arts Council.
Mm.
So they funded them for 10 years to get their strength going and to build on what they were doing.
Yep.
And now Dorrigo, it's in its 24th year and it's self-perpetuating. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
So I suppose the other cost is, even just for the last 3 years, you've paid the performers $50 plus a T-shirt, just in acknowledgement of their efforts and their skill base and all that type of thing.
Yep.
But before that, they weren't paid.
No, they were just volunteers.
And they got a T-shirt?
Yeah, they got a T-shirt. All the volunteers get a T-shirt.
All the volunteers get a T-shirt.
Yeah.
I'd put a proposal forward that we need a benefactor. If somebody out there has a similar commitment to art, music, environment, and bringing community together, a benefactor that would come on board for 10 years, we talked about $12,000, but if they actually covered a fair bit of that every year for 10 years, then other small grants that you could go for or donations could actually go on top of that, and you could actually improve and enhance the whole experience for our community and strengthen it.
Yeah, well, that would be fantastic if we could. The festival is now funded by a mixture of grants and usually sponsorships from local businesses. So this year we had a lot of grants. We were able to raise most of the money from several grants, and we had a few businesses sponsor us. Other years it's been mostly funded by local businesses, but for those of us who organise the festival, that's probably the biggest time-consuming thing. You've got to go around and talk to people about sponsoring. You've got to go and, you know, knock on doors and have conversations. You've got to write grant applications. That takes a lot of time. Just about all of us on the committee work full-time, and squeezing, organising a festival in is a huge burden on our time. So anything that would take the pressure off that fundraising would be welcome. It would also give us a bit of certainty that we can go forward and we can organise other activities around the basic core of the festival, so we could concentrate on perhaps an art activity one year or a particular music event another year, and it would just take that pressure off just covering the basic overheads every year.
Well, just those other events, you guys, the Black Gully Festival, put on the stage at one of the PCYC, I think it was in May, April, whatever, when the big chill was on.
That's right, yep.
That weekend, so that's another bit of effort that you guys did to promote what was coming up with, yep, Black Gully.
And also in October at the markets in the mall.
Yeah, and Creative Streets, you were down at the Creative Streets,
yep,
as well.
Yep.
So there's much more. So I suppose, just like we put out the call for any schools to get in touch with the Black Gully Festival people, if there's a true supporter, a benefactor, that wants to actually commit 10 years of funding, come forward, a true supporter of the pillars of the Black Gully Festival, which is art, music, environment, and bringing community together. It wouldn't be about greenwashing their own brand or whatever. It would be about a true supporter. Yeah, if you're a true supporter of local art, music, environment, and bringing community together, get a hold of the Black Gully Festival organisers. Dave Carr, you can get him at Stringy Bark Ecological or through the Facebook page,
yep,
Black Gully Festival, or leave a message here at 2ARM. So I think, Dave, we might wrap it up. There's a lot to talk about. I think we're going to have our review in January.
Yep.
And this is the whole adaptive management process, where we go through and look at what was good, bad and ugly.
Yes.
And try and improve for next year. But, look, I had a great day. It was, it was great for us to be involved, the 2ARM to be involved in the way we were, and we've talked about the other things, and the music was fantastic.
Well, we're always looking for new partners or new ideas. One of the things we do is we present the festival as a bit of a framework that anyone can come along, and as long as it meets the theme, they can put on an event within the event. And so that's what happened this year with the Weathering Together exhibition, and they put on some events. In the past we've done it with other projects. So if you've got an idea that you want to work towards for next year, then come and talk to us. Always looking for more people to get actively involved, and always looking for more volunteers. So everyone is welcome to be part of the festival.
All right, so I'll just talk about the partners. I'll just go through the list. The Musicians of Armidale.
Yes.
Pivotal partner in the whole festival.
Yep.
Sustainable Living Armidale.
Yes.
New England Regional Art Museum, NERAM. Ourselves, 2ARM Community Radio. The Southern New England Land Care. Armidale Tree Group. And Aboriginal Cultural Centre and Keeping Place.
Yes.
They're the partners.
That's right. Yep.
And they're the important people that support, not necessarily financially, but support the festival and the messages of art, music, environment, and bringing community together.
Yes, that's right.
Well, thanks, Dave. I think we've just about wrapped that one up, I think.
Yeah, great.
And again, just a call out for any of the schools that want to get involved early, any particular benefactor that wants to come on board for commit for 5 or 10 years to really make the festival a great thing, which it already is. It's been going for 14 years, so that's proof in the pudding that the volunteers are committed, because it would have died a long time ago if they weren't.
Yeah, that's right. And for a free community-run festival with no core funding, I think we've done pretty well too.
No, 14 years. Congratulations to you and all the past and current organisers in your efforts. Black Gully is certainly a gem in our local calendar of musical events and community events, and I wish you all the best with what's to the future, and hope 2ARM can be a part of that.
Thanks, Herb.
Thank you. That is Black Gully and Community Spotlight.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2ARM.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.